promise you, every single one of those slides will make perfect sense in the weeks to come. Even the little funny astro, the one that's spinning around, all of it will make perfect sense. Before we get things started, I was reminded that we do have a special birthday in the house this morning, Miss Juanita Carpenter. Today is her birthday, so happy birthday, Miss Juanita. You make 26 look awesome. One of the major verses that are driving almost each and every single one of the series that we're doing in 2024 comes out of 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32, which states that there were certain men from a tribe of Israel that understood the times in which they were living in, and they knew how to respond to the times. They knew what was going on. They were paying attention. They were keeping their eyes focused on what was going on, and they knew what to do. They knew how to respond. So each and every single one of our series has got this verse in the background driving it, and it will continue to throughout all of 2024. But for this intro sermon into the book of Daniel, that this sermon isn't going to be very exciting because it talks about a certain dominant theme within Scripture that's hard. It's not easy. It involves pain. It involves heartache. It involves an awful lot of, God, why did you allow this to happen? God, you promised. God, you told us that this was our land. This is the land that you promised through our ancestor Abraham that we would have, that we would live in, that we would be a part of for generation after generation after generation. What we are talking about this morning is what's called the way of exile. And exile is a dominant theme throughout the First Testament. And even into our Second Testament, our New Testaments, because even though the people of God, the people of Israel, were back in their homeland, they still were experiencing a form of exile. They were still experiencing this is not the fullness of our home. This isn't our home. We're living here, but it's not home yet. There's still a lot of pain. There's still a lot of heartache. There's still a lot of trauma. There's still a lot of things that we look out in the world and say, this is not right. God, when are you going to step in and fix it? And the book of Daniel begins with this understanding of the way of exile. When you pay attention to exile and you pay attention to the trajectory that exile has within the biblical narrative, it has an awful lot to do with understanding. Understanding about God, understanding about themselves, and something we don't like to talk an awful lot about. And that is this understanding about consequences and results from decisions that they and we needed to own up to, and even consequences and results from decisions that they experienced that they have nothing to do with. It's one thing to own up to the consequences of our own decisions and just own up to it and say, yep, that was on me, my bad to the thousandth degree. I've got to be honest and I've got to own up to this. It's another thing when you experience consequences based upon decisions that other people have made. And you're just a part of the line of fire that goes along with the trickle-down effect of decisions that others have made. Very quickly, three little examples of this. The first one is St. Patrick. I know St. Patrick's Day was a few weeks ago, but St. Patrick, when you pay attention to his story, is a form of exile. He was kidnapped from his homeland and taken someplace else. That is what exile is really all about. Being kidnapped, being taken away from your location, from your home, and being put someplace else for a season of time. Any Lord of the Rings fans in here? Should be some, should be quite a few. At least hope so. If not, you need to watch Lord of the Rings. best 4 hours you'll ever spend. But now watch the extended version, times two. Before Lord of the Rings, you've got what story? The Hobbit. You guys remember, for Lord of the Ring nerds in the group, which is okay, we can call ourselves Lord of the Ring nerds. Within The Hobbit, there is this conversation that Bilbo has with Thorin. I know I'm using weird names here, but Bilbo and Thorin. And Thorin is kind of confused, like, why are you doing this? You're not made out for this. You're such a wee little guy for such a big thing that you're experiencing. And Bilbo looks at Thorin and says, I'm doing this because your home was taken from you. You're trying to get back home, and I want to help you get back to your home because you were taken out of your home and transplanted somewhere else. How many of you know or at least are aware of the background story to the famous hymn Amazing Grace, put together by John Newton? And many of his poems that eventually became hymns are reflections, are flashbacks to actual real life experience that he went through. He himself experienced a form of exile as he was kidnapped, as he was imprisoned, taken away from his place of living, his home, transplanted to another place, became an indentured servant, and eventually was able to work his way, earn his way back to going back home. But a part of Amazing Grace, a part of John Newton's story, involves exile and being transplanted, being removed from a place that you are familiar with, that you're comfortable with, that you feel at home with. So what do we do with all of these stories? How do we pay attention to these stories? What direction do these stories send us? Especially when we have to own up to our own consequences based upon decisions that we make, or consequences from decisions that others make, that just kind of we're a part of the trail, the direction of what those consequences look like. In other words, how do we deal with exile within the biblical narrative? God, where are you? God, why is this happening? God, couldn't you have stepped in and done something about this? This place doesn't feel like home anymore. God, what are you up to? So to get things started, Daniel chapter 1, beginning in verses 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. So consequences of decisions, of results that were made by Israel's elite, Israel's leadership. There is this process that is now unfolding. And a part of that consequence, a part of that process is exile. So the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia and put in the treasure house of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, king of his court officials, to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, just as a way of saying, we conquered you, we own you, you are not your own. We're going to do this just to put it in your face. This is mud in your eyes. This is a way of just putting our foot down on you. We're going to take your elite, the best of your best, we're going to put them in our service now. Stinks to be you. We won, you lost. The feeling of just utter defeat was intentional and on purpose. So young men without any physical defect, they were handsome They were showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and the literature of the Babylonians, which is just simply a way of saying, you have a new life. You have a new identity. You need to forget who you were, and you need to be reprogrammed into who we are going to make you. And you have no say about it. You have no choice in the matter. You do it or you don't, or you die, if you will. Those are your choices. So, the men that were a part of this, the king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table to make them feel a part, to make them feel included, to kind of ease the trauma, ease the tension a little bit. They were trained for 3 years. And after that, they were to enter the king's service. Now, it would take an awful lot of information overload to give all the background to what's going on in these five verses. And we're not going to do that on Sunday morning. But I really, really encourage you to take some of this seriously and to go home and do some work. Go home and do some research, looking at 2 Kings 23 through 24. To get just a little bit of background of what's going on here in the story. Or 2 Chronicles 34 through 36. Or, and just as importantly, the book of Jeremiah. Crazy long, lots going on in the book of Jeremiah. But Jeremiah 21 through 29 will give you an awful lot of good, helpful information to open your eyes and your imagination to what's going on. So that when you read a simple statement like besieged, what does that mean? What does that look like? What is that involved? We have never experienced anything like it. Praise God that we have not. And I don't think there's a single one of us that should raise our hands and say, yeah, I'd like to experience an exile. No, you wouldn't. It is unlike anything that any of us can possibly imagine or put our minds to. But chapters 2 Kings 23, 24, 2 Chronicles 34 through 36, Jeremiah 21 through 29. Take some time. It's a beautiful day. Maybe John will read those to us today as we're on our hike. It's a 4-mile hike. There's a lot of time in there. But take some time today. Get into this text. What I'm asking for is for you to make the initiative to allow the Word of God to open your imagination. To dive into the story. I am calling this series A Hope That Ignites Faithfulness. Because that's what the book of Daniel invites each and every single one of us to do. A hope that ignites faithfulness. Because even though this book is about certain characters that some of you may be familiar with and some of you are about to become very familiar with, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, whose names we will look closer at next week. This book is about God. This book is all about, if there was an E that we're going to pay attention to within our four E's, within our mission here at Church in the Falls, the book of Daniel is all about embracing God in hard contexts. Embracing God during hard times. His name, His work, His faithfulness, hope in His name, hope in His work, and hope in His faithfulness are all over the pages of this work. Even the crazy chapters that are chapters 7 through 12 that we will get into. We're not just going to stop the story in chapter 6 because those are the easy stories. No, we're going to get into the hardness of chapters 7 through 12 as well. But hope is such a powerful weapon that we don't spend enough time thinking about, that we don't spend enough time meditating in. When you look at passages such as Romans chapter 5, verses 2 through 5, which should be on the screen, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast, we glory, we celebrate, we hoop and we holler in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering does stuff. Suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Hope is such a powerful weapon that we have within our arsenal to combat the hard stuff in life. The hard stuff that we ourselves put ourselves through, and the hard stuff that happens to us not because of decisions we have made, but because of decisions others have made. You look at passages like Romans chapter 8, verses 24 through 25. For in this hope we were saved. In this hope we were rescued. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. We don't see this hope just yet. We don't experience it just yet. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. There's this time frame within the first couple sentences of Daniel chapter 1 that we can read through and brush through and not spend much time letting it soak into us. They were being reprogrammed for how many years? 3 years. 3 years after being removed from their homeland, being removed from everything that was comfortable to them, everything they knew, their family, their language, their heritage, their practices, their worship, their jobs, everything that they knew and was comfortable and familiar to them, gone. Along with this echoing thing that you know is in the back of their mind and in the back of their heart. God, why did you allow this to happen? God, where are you? This is not my home. And being reprogrammed for 3 straight years. New language, new identity, new way of seeing in the world, new way of being in the world. Kiss your Hebrewness goodbye. You are now a Babylonian. You imagine that would happen to us? Kiss your Americanness goodbye. You are now, I don't know, you name it. Canadian doesn't really give much impact to it. But can you imagine what that would have been like? Allowing that to sink in allows you to get into the book of Daniel. There's this thing about exile that it's not just a Daniel thing. It's not just a Kings thing or a Chronicles thing. The theme of exile goes all throughout the biblical narrative. Actually, if you are honest about it, the Bible begins with an exile. Adam and Eve were removed from their home and placed into another part of this world, a home that was no longer their home. God did that. It was a consequence based upon decisions that they had made. And we're still experiencing the domino effect of that decision up until this day. The Tower of Babel is an exile story where God sent them out. They all gathered. They all built this ziggurat, this tower. They all had one common language. They all wanted to make a name for themselves. And God exiled them. God sent them out. When Abraham was called, he was in a form of exile. And God promised him that God would bring him and his lineage back into this land, back into this homeland. He would return them from the exile that they were experiencing. But there are also passages, and these passages are long in detail. So I want everybody to take a deep breath and be here. Because the whole point of this intro sermon is to get our minds and our hearts around just the detriment and the heartbreak that exile is really all about. But I want us to hear from Deuteronomy chapter 30. Yes, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 30, beginning in verse 1. Beginning in verse 11. Moses here talking to the people of God as they are finally about to enter the promised land. And Moses has some instructions to them about what is going to happen to them if they choose to follow other gods, if they choose to reject God's way and go their own way. Now, what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It's not up in heaven so that you have to ask, who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it? Nor is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask, who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it? No. The word is very near to you. It is in your mouth and in your heart, so you may obey it. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. You have two paths, if you will. If you choose to obey, if you choose to follow, you will have life. You will have prosperity. Whatever you go at, you will continue to get better at it. Things will get better and better and better. Or if you choose not to obey, if you choose to go your own way, you will experience the consequences of death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to Him, and to keep His commands, His decrees, His laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away, and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. And here is the invitation that the Lord has for all time. Choose life. Don't choose the way of death. Don't choose your own way of seeing and thinking and feeling. It will always lead to death and destruction. Choose life so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to His voice, and hold fast to Him. For the Lord is your life, and He will give you many years in the land He swore to give to your fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Daniel knew these blessings and these promises. The people of God that experienced the exile knew the blessings and the promises. The exile that took place in 722 when Assyria came in and took out the northern kingdom, these people knew about these blessings and curses. They ignored them and they went about their own way, and they experienced the consequences of their decision. And then what happened with Daniel and with his friends in 586? Actual, historical, legit things, not made up myths, not things that just kind of caught on as a myth and carried throughout. No, actual historical things that happened over 2,500 years ago, where God allowed a foreign nation to come in and uproot His chosen people and exile them to another place. Deuteronomy 30, coming to life. Because His people chose death instead of choosing life. Earlier on in Deuteronomy chapter 30, I had to include this, because without it, there wouldn't be much hope. And a driving force of this teaching is even in the experience, even in the midst of exile, in the midst of this reality that this is not quite yet home, this is not home, there is hope. There is hope. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 4 through 6. Even if you have been banished to the most distant land under the heavens, from there the Lord your God will gather you and bring you back. He will bring you to the land that belonged to your ancestors, and you will take possession of it. He will make you more prosperous and numerous than your ancestors. The Lord your God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants, so that you may love him with all your heart and with all your soul and live. The dispersing, the way of exile that was experienced in 722 and 586. There were three different waves that the people of God experienced. There were three different movements of exile. The first one was in 597, which included Daniel and his three friends. It was this intro that the Babylonian king was doing to let Israel know that, you know what? Something big is about to happen. There are some things in motion that you cannot stop. 586 and then 582 were the second and the third waves, until finally Judah was no longer a nation. Jerusalem was no longer a capital, and the temple was no longer a house of worship. So you take all of those real life things that happened in history, and we have them recorded. We have the stories. We can sense and feel the pain and heartache. And we say, why did all of this happen? What took place that drove our God, the one that we know to be fully and completely revealed in Jesus? Why did this happen? How did this happen? And a couple of things. This is just a blanket statement that we know to be true, that we put an awful lot of hope in. God reveals himself in relationship with his people. It's what we believe to be true. God is actively involved with his people. We see this in dominant metaphors of God within Scripture. God is king. God is warrior. God is shepherd. God is husband. God is father. And even more intimate, this idea that God portrays certain mother characteristics. Isaiah 49:15, Isaiah 66:13, and Luke 13:34, if you need a little context for this mothering type of thing that God reveals himself as. With the ongoing assumption and invitation that his people are choosing and going to be his subjects, his soldiers, his sheep, his wife, his children. Daniel uses some of these metaphors, and we will see them as we go throughout the book. Not in the abstract. Not in where there's lots of colors and lots of splotches, and you're like, is there anything really there? And you got to look really hard. You got to put cheaters on in order to see. Not in the abstract, but in the real nitty-grittiness of life. So, what can we learn from, what can we glean from these first five sentences within the book of Daniel? The stories of the book of Daniel, chapters 1 through 6, are stories that many of us are going to be familiar with. Chapters 7 through 12, prophetic callings, prophetic ways of looking at the world as the veil gets pulled back and we get to see things through a different set of lenses. But how do we understand our times? And how do we understand how to respond as we dive through and as we pay attention to the world of Daniel? Two things. The first one is we are often tempted to give up and to compromise. Especially in our day and age where it's really, really easy not to speak up, not to stand up, not to be bold, but to just give up and to compromise. When we go through the book of Daniel, we could see how story after story, it would have been really, really easy. Especially after 3 years of being reprogrammed. To just give up, to give in, and to compromise. To not stand up, to not be strong. Sometimes we are tempted to withdraw or conform to whatever bullies, whatever powers, whatever circumstances are at play in order to make life as smooth as possible. I'm not going to stand up. I'm going to give in because it's going to interfere with my reputation. It's going to interfere with my daily routine. It may even interfere with this relationship. So I'm just going to give up. I'm going to back down. And I'm going to compromise just for the sake of not getting into a fight. Anybody here like that? You just give in and give up and say, you know what? I'm not even going to try. We're tempted to do that. And we can see that within the book of Daniel. Other groups within the Bible that I hope kind of think of the Sadducees within the story of Jesus. The Sadducees intentionally and purposefully gave up a part of themselves and compromised to the Hellenistic culture of their day and age. Just so life could be a little bit smoother. They could be a little bit richer and life would go a little bit better. They gave up and they gave into the culture of their time. They were not willing to stand up or to speak up. Think of just progressivism in our day and age that constantly says conform, conform, conform. Don't you dare speak up. Don't you dare stand up. Give in and give up over and over and over. This is the way culture is going. You cannot do anything about it. Don't even try. Conform, give in, and give up. It's why Daniel is so pertinent to us. Paying attention to how they understood their times and how to respond provides hope for followers of Jesus today. And then the second one that may be more relative to us is we want to blow it up. We want to counterattack. We want to say to the forces, the power makers, the circumstancers, all that are at work, the bullies that are at work within culture, we want to blow it all up. We want to counterattack and we want to make them pay for all the suffering and all the pain and all the confusion that they've caused. We want to go at them and make them pay for all that they have done. The book of Daniel has a better story to tell us. The book of Daniel has a better option than just give up and conform or blow it all up and counterattack. There is much wisdom in the book of Daniel to open our eyes, our hearts, our imaginations to other ways of responding to the times we find ourselves in. One final verse, one final section of scripture that I find to be really, really important in this conversation. In this final text, we'll draw this teaching to a close. Jeremiah chapter 29. And again, these passages are in the bulletin. I encourage you to go back and look at them. Some of these are kind of longer because of the type of literature that they are in. But hear these words from Jeremiah chapter 29. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. not conform, not blow it all up, not give in, give up, or go attack, go to war. Instead, build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry, have sons and daughters, find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. Don't give in or give up. Don't try to counterattack. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Don't listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper, not to harm. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart, despite your circumstances, despite the heartache, despite the pain, despite the awareness that this place is not home. You seek me, you will find me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. Arise, team. Y'all can join me up here, please. The bright future that is promised here in Jeremiah chapter 29 that echoes into the story of Daniel had nothing to do with conformity. It had nothing to do with giving in nor giving up, nor through violent overthrow. If you need some New Testament chapters to pay attention to this, Romans chapter 12, do not conform to the pattern of this world. Romans 13, don't bump up against the governing authorities of your time, because if you bump up against Rome, you're going to lose. Instead, pray for them. Instead, allow Jeremiah 29 to guide you. The redirection within the culture started when God's people chose to trust the Lord by loving Him and their neighbors and see themselves within the Lord's vision and mission, even though the surroundings and circumstances attempted to portray another reality. As we journey through Daniel this spring, may we all pay so close attention to these stories. May we see that their willingness to trust the Lord, their refusal to compromise, their refusal to corrupt their loyalty to the Lord brought about a divine power to subvert the control of the empire. Living in exile was painful. Living in exile is painful. But the stories in Daniel provide for us a hope-filled, hope-ignited faithfulness that can withstand any circumstance this world and the powers of this world present before us. Amen, church. Let's stand together. As we close out our service, the invitation each week is for anybody who would like to receive prayers from your brothers and sisters. Please come down and see me. We have a shepherd and we have a lady prayer warrior that are beside our prayer room for anybody who would like to go and receive prayer. But before we close our service with song, let's pray together. God, thank you for the direction with which your word invites us to live into and to live out from. God, we confess that the confusion, that the distraction, that the heartache and pain that we experience in our world and in our culture today can at times be really overwhelming. But Father, as we dive through Daniel, give us focus, give us your vision, give us your mission to how we can thrive and prosper as we ourselves experience in our own form of exile. We know that this world is not quite yet home. And we pray, Maranatha, to come, Lord Jesus, to finish what you started on the cross, to finish what the resurrection means, to finish what your ascension means. Is you are king of this world, even though we still live in a temporary exile. God, give us eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart that is determined to do exactly what you've called us to be your people, even as we still live in a form of exile. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. However you need to respond, please do so as we worship together.